Today I am speaking on the topic of Jesus' humanity. And I think it's kind of neat as we're going through these master outlines of the Bible. And this is master outline number 3. And it's point number 2. And there are 6 points total in this outline. And when I began doing this study of the humanity of Christ, it's one of the things that, you know, we as pastors have to do. It's part of Christology. It's understanding who Jesus Christ is and all the different facets of His life and His being. And as I undertook this study again, you know, it amazes me because you go through college and you spend that time, and you all know I'm doing my master's yet, so there's more knowledge yet to gain. And you think you've got the basic stuff down, and you realize, wow, you know, this is one of those scratch and sniff things, right? Because that's about what I did. I scratched the surface and sniffed it a little bit. There's a whole lot more underneath that I need to get into when I start thinking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Most of us, as we would understand humanity, would define it in such a way as the greatest criteria of humanity is that it calls for a necessity that one is to be born of flesh and blood, correct? That's where we draw it. Well, the reality is, in Jesus Christ, we know this reality. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, because that's where we're going to begin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, I'm going to be reading through the 25th verse. So from the 18th verse, the first chapter of the book of Matthew, we read these words, "Thus saith the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Thus ends the reading of the words, the Lord's word. One of the things that we don't have to prove is the humanity of Jesus, the humanness of Jesus. Was he born? Everybody agrees. Muslims, Christians, anybody in the world agrees. Jesus Christ walked the earth. Yes, he lived. He was a human being. He was here. There's no doubt. It's one of the only points that everybody secedes, that he was a man. But what we know is the reality that he was much more than just a man. But today I want to deal with the humanity of Jesus Christ. I want to deal with his humanness and what that means to us. Because as we discover humanity, we discover something that I think is going to impress each and every one of us. Because, like I said, humanity means so much more than just being born. You know, all of us here have been born. Does that mean we have humanity? And the answer to that question is no. Humanity carries much further. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to Luke in the 2nd chapter. And we're going to look at just what this means when we start getting into the depth of the Word of God. Luke chapter 2. Verses 51 and 52, just two little verses. Verse 51 and 52. From the 51st verse. Now this is where Jesus is at the temple. He's about 12 years old at this time. And his parents went down to celebrate the feasts. And while they were there, they lost Jesus. Now, he wasn't lost. He knew right where he was. But they lost Jesus, okay? Mom and dad lost their kid. Have any of you ever been there, done that? Yeah. Scary thing, isn't it? Scary thing. Jesus speaks to them and says to them from verse 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And now this is the portion that I want you to understand. This is the portion I want you to grab a hold of. "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." What does humanity mean? Right here we have a beautiful picture of what humanity starts as. Jesus left Nazareth, left his father's house, and went with Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his father, because that's what they were to him, all right? Mary had brought him forth from her womb. We all know that. It's attributed unto her. Joseph was considered his father. We all know that. History contributes it to him. But what we don't understand is what this next section really says to us. "And he was obedient to them." Who was Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? He is God himself in the flesh, just as you and I are in the flesh. But Jesus, God-man, determined to be obedient to his parents, to be obedient to an authority that was over him. And he grew in wisdom and stature, and in the favor with God and men. When we begin to understand the reality, the beginning of humanity comes to the reality of when we know authority, true authority, when we grow in maturity, both physically and mentally. You know, it's easy for us to get all grown up, okay? When you're born, you're a baby. When you die, prayerfully, graciously, with God's blessing, you're old. You've grown up physically. But part of humanity says you need to grow up mentally. You need to grow up spiritually. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus committed himself to growing up. I look around our world today and I have to ask myself, how many people are literally committed to growing up? How many people just want it handed to them today? We want everything on a silver platter and we don't want to have to work for it. We don't want to have to know anything or do anything. We don't want to have to win any respect. We just simply want respect because we've been born. I'm sorry, humanity does not work that way. Humanity is something you grow into. It is not something that is delivered unto you, and it's yours, and now you have it because you're a human being. Wrong. If that's the equation, you're no brighter than the dumb animals that are in this world. We are different. We are set apart by the very nature of our creation. Why? Because we have a brain that is able to process, to figure, to reason, and to grow. I've had my dogs for 10 years and 9 years, and they are as dumb as stones. You'd think after 10 years they would know that no means no, right? But my dog goes into the cat's room and eats her food every time I put food out. I can discipline him. I can whatever I want to do to him. He's still going to go in there and just, as soon as that he hears that tittity-dink, you know, putting that food in her dish, and he waits for us all to turn our backs, and the next thing you know, we hear Tuck in there. Tuck, what are you doing? He comes walking out. What? And that's the way some people act, isn't it? You tell them no, you tell them things are wrong, and they don't want to grow. They don't want to become human. They want to remain the beasts that this world wants us to be, under the guise that, oh, all humanity is equal. No, it's not. Humanity is something that we grow into. Humanity is something that we learn. Humanity is something that we become. You're a human being through birth. Jesus Christ was a human being, but Jesus Christ grew in humanity, and he is truly the one who has taught us humanity. One of the most basic tenets of humanity, as I said, is submitting to true authority. That means you have to know what true authority is, doesn't it? How much authority is out there? How many of you, when you grew up, your siblings, how many of you had siblings when you grew up? Older siblings. Okay? They became our authority, didn't they? Our parents were supposed to be our authority, but our older siblings became our authority, whether we wanted them to or not. Why? Because they were older than us. And they would beat us up. Okay? Doesn't take much wisdom to get that one. All right? Now, some of you out there, you were young ladies and you had brothers, and maybe they were younger than you, and they would still beat you up because they were boys. But guess what happens? Girls grow up too. Okay? And some of you can dish it out just as well as take it. We grow up, and we have to understand true authority. It does not have anything to do with a physicalness, because we all have physical being, right? True authority is that which has authority to enforce the very things it says. And there's only one true authority. There is only one true authority. Everything else is an imposter. Everything else are the things that we've created along the way. Jesus submitted himself to the authorities that were created along the way, didn't he? Isn't that what the scripture here said? He submitted to Mary and to Joseph. He submitted to the government. He submitted to the authorities of his life as he grew. But ultimately, as we understand it here, back in verse 49, what does he say here? He says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Who was his ultimate authority? At the age of 12, he knew it. How many of us know it now? How many of us act like we know it now? The true authority is God. When we come to understand that we know authority, and then we also know that growing in wisdom, and not just any wisdom, what does it say here? But the wisdom of God, growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. That means very really that the things he did, the things he learned, the things he understood were pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to God the Father, the things that we're supposed to do. Many of us, we want it our way. We want our friends to be happy with us. We want things in our lives to suit our needs in our way, correct? But what does God say about those things? It was so amazing because we're studying this stuff today. I pray you folks get yourselves tied into our Bible discipleship classes. We are so in sync with the Spirit of the Lord in this church right now. I'm beside myself. I just cannot say any more about it. I mean, If there's any inkling in your mind that there's something missing in your life, get involved in what's happening here. And I'm not saying that facetiously because I'm the pastor and I've got this big head about myself. This isn't about me. This is about what God's doing with a body of believers. And you need to be plugged in, because He's plugged in right now. And He's teaching us some really awesome stuff. And I pray you're getting taught. And the only way you're going to get taught is what? By getting into God's wisdom. There are so many of us out there, we think we have it all figured out. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know your head from the hole in the ground. Okay? I can remember my mom telling me that the whole time I was growing up. Y'all been told those things? You don't know your head from a hole in the ground. The reality is, I realized I had my head in a hole in the ground. Because I was thinking the way I wanted to think. I was thinking the things I wanted rather than thinking on the things of the Lord. Whatever is noble, whatever is good, think on these things, the Lord says, right? He says that for a reason. He says that because it's His truth. He says that because those are the things that are going to change us into the humanity that Jesus Christ was and knew. I want you to look at some of the examples of Jesus Christ's life. I want you to look at some of the examples of the humanity that He taught us and that He wants us to have. Now, we're not going to read them. I want you to look at them. I want you to write these things down, because I'm going to give you some, and others I'm just going to give you the realities. In life's experience, we gain understanding into what it means to truly be human, okay? Jesus, in His life, in John 19, 28, thirsted. Write that down. In John 19, 28, Jesus thirsted. Okay? That's a very basic need, isn't it? We need water. Well, what's the very next one that comes after that? In Matthew 4 and 2, we hunger. We have got to give water to this body to nourish it. We have got to give food to this body for supplication that it can continue to grow and function. Correct? There are other things that we do in this human body. We get tired and we grow weary. That's John 4 and 6, where Jesus grew tired. We weep for ourselves and for others in sorrow as there is need. And that we find Jesus doing where? Jesus did it a couple of times. Do you realize that? The one time He did it was because His friend Lazarus had died. But you know, He didn't weep because Lazarus had died. Do you know why He wept? Because of a lack of faith of the sisters. For they thought Jesus couldn't bring him back from the dead. He was not weeping for a dead man. He was weeping for dead sisters. Think about that, people. He was weeping for two dead sisters who had sat in His presence, knew who He was, and yet didn't believe. Did Lazarus believe? You better bet he did, because when Jesus called his name, he came out of the grave. A truly dead man in all human aspect. For he stinketh. He was rotting for 4 days. And to the glory of God, when Jesus speaks into the human being, the body responds. Why? Because He created it. He created it all. So Jesus wept. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted. That's Hebrews 4 and 15. We also know the Bible tells us that Jesus forgave, that Jesus had compassion, that Jesus extended hope, that He encouraged those who were downtrodden, that He took up causes for some, and He met the needs of others as He gave sight to the blind and healed the lame. He righted wrongs of the peoples. And the list goes on and on and on. We see that humanity means getting involved, being real where you are, caring, compassionate, loving, concerning. That's why Miss Faye goes on these trips. That's why Miss Faye has given her life to mission. because God has reached her with His humanity to care. Did you hear her voice crackle as she read the scripture at the end of her presentation? That was real, because she knew that hope. And the giving of that word changes lives. That's humanity in function, because it gives from itself. It says, I'm alive because God gave me life, not because I live. Okay, and we studied that today, didn't we? Didn't we, Marion? I'm telling you, God is so real in this place. Are you alive? I don't just mean living and breathing. Are you alive? Is eternity yours? Or are you dead, sitting in a chair in an auditorium, bored out of your mind because I'm here to do my duty. I'm here because I have to be. Because if that's the case, I am nothing for you. But if you want life, if you want humanity, oh, brothers and sisters, I've got something for you that was given to me, and I want to give it away. And that is the life of Jesus Christ. That from Him comes all that compassion. From Him comes all that hope. From Him comes all these things that we just spoke about. How do I know this to be true? Who created human beings? We like to think that we are the end all of all, because we exist and we can procreate. Brothers and sisters, we're an end product. We are not the beginning. We are the cause to the beginning. Okay? We are the effect, excuse me, to the initial cause. The initial cause was God Himself. And we are that end result. When we come to an understanding that humanity is more than being born, and that Jesus Christ shows us this every day, if we will simply open our eyes. Jesus spoke it in this way. He said, let he who has eyes see and him who has ears hear. And He is talking to each and every one of us every day of our lives through the reality of His Word and through the body of Jesus Christ called the church. As we reach out one to another and begin to live a life that is right. I spoke earlier about the great tenet of humanity is submitting to true authority and growing in the wisdom of God. I want to read something to you. Now, this is from the Master Outlines. This is the second Bible I'm going to read today. And this outline says this. Jesus is man, and yet He is more than man. He is not God and man, but the God-man. He is God in human flesh, and His two natures are bound together in such a way that the two become one, having a single consciousness and will. What does that mean? You know, we think of Jesus Christ that He's God, He's fully divine, and He is deity, and yet He's a man. So He's got these two natures inside of Him. No, He doesn't. He has one nature. He has one consciousness. He has one will. Okay? And that is the will of God-man. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. How can that be? Because God is spirit. Yeah, God the Father is spirit. God the Son is no longer spirit. God the Son is now fully human. In fact, He lives in a glorified body in heaven. Yet, He's fully God. Okay, Pastor, let's see if we can put this in layman's terms. Okay, here we go. This is the hypostatic union. Can y'all say that? The hypostatic union. Who cares, right? Here's the reality. And I want you to grab this. I want you to get a hold of this. Humanity is not something that happens to us or is given to us simply because we're born. You have no humanity because you are a man, Rick Heise. You have no humanity because you are a woman, Marion Helwig. You have humanity, Leon. You have humanity, Merle. And you can put all your names in there. Because God gave you His image. We were created in the image of God. Humanity is the full nature of God given and delivered unto mankind. It's not something we've earned. It's not something that we get simply by being in this flesh. It is something that God has given us that makes us separate from all the animals. It is a part of God Himself that dwells in us and reckons back unto God. Why do you think He says that when He whispers, our spirit answers His spirit? Because the very Spirit of God, the nephesh, do you all know what nephesh is? The breath. The very breath of God gives us life. And every one of us has the nephesh. And every one of us, from within us, receives from Him the humanity if we are willing to submit to it and grow in it. Brothers and sisters, it does not come from flesh and blood. Your mom and dad didn't give you humanity. They created a human being. Humanity is the very nature of God, His compassion, His love, His care, His drive, all those things. And guess what happens when we don't have it? I want you to look at our world today. Abortion on demand. If you're too sick, hey, go to Oregon. They'll give you a shot and take care of you just like that. You're out of here. You can check out when you want. We have slave trafficking. We have sex trafficking. Do you know that? Women and children are being sold into sexual bondage every day of our lives. Every year, this is not a joke, every year, over 250,000 men and women go missing from the United States alone. Never to be found again. Where do you think they go? Why don't we hear those numbers? Because they can't do anything about it, so they suppress them. There's a whole lot more out there that you people don't know or we don't see because our government doesn't want us to know it. Why? Because if it would affect our humanity. And they don't want it to affect your humanity. They want you to be numb. They want you to be those blind, dumb animals that can be controlled. They're called chattel. Have you ever heard that? We're called chattel, according to those in power over us, the authorities. But the Scripture is pretty clear on that. The Scripture says, we fight not against flesh and blood. We fight not against human beings. We fight against those who come against our humanity. We fight against the powers of darkness in this dark age. We fight against the principalities, against the authorities of this dark world. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm talking about Satan and his minions that are running this world, because we are either walking in and with God and in His humanity, in the image in which we were created, in the image that Jesus Christ Himself portrayed from the fullness of His birth, and even unto this day, in His ascension before the Father and His intercession for us, because He's still weeping for His children. Do we weep? Do we care? Do we have that humanity in each and every one of us? Or are we simply human beings that are just going about our business, being chattel, driven along by the waves of those who want to be an authority, kind of like your big brother when you were growing up? The day is coming, dear friends, when we're going to have to answer the question, am I going to stand on my humanity, or am I just going to be chattel to be driven along in the mainstream of life? Today, I want to challenge you with a reality. I want you to read with me Psalm 23. I got to find it here. I know I wrote it down. This is terrible. Oh, it's over here. I want you to read with me Psalm 103. And I know I'm keeping you a little late. I hope and pray that you will indulge me. because the reality is I've got so much I want to talk to you about. Yeah. Says the preacher. Some of you got that. Psalm 103. I'm turning there myself, pardon me. I'm using my second Bible, and I'm not used to this Bible. Now, I'm reading this out of the King James. I want you to follow along. And the reason I'm reading this out of the King James is because there's a word in here that I truly want you to grab a hold of. Because this comes to us from a reality of a man who was after God's own heart. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from the destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who steadfasteth thy mouth with good things? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to show that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When we read that psalm, we read of the reality of just who God is and how He bestows His humanity upon each and every one of us. His loving kindness, I love that word, okay? We speak of humanity. The word loving kindness there is the Hebrew word that is used to describe humanity. It tells us where humanity comes from. It says, He crowneth us with loving kindness. Now, if He's going to give us a crown, He has to be able to give us the crown, right? If He has to have the ability of bestowing it. In other words, He's got to own it. It's got to be His to give away. And it says He crowns us with loving kindness. That's a bad interpretation, but it's as close as we can get. The word there is hesed. That's the Hebrew word. Say that with me. Hesed. And hesed is much more than loving kindness. Hesed is humanity. He crowns us with His humanity. He crowns us with His loving kindness. He crowns us with His compassion. He crowns us with His hope. This is something that God bestows upon us, not because we deserve it, but because God, before He knew any of us, wanted to give us the goodness, the fullness thereof Himself. In the Scriptures we read that it pleased God that the fullness of God would dwell in Jesus Christ. The what? The partiality? The fullness of God dwelt in Him. Christ's humanity was that hesed. It is the loving kindness of God bestowed upon Him in its fullness. And Jesus says, I want to give you that fullness. Will you give me the ability? Will you allow me in your humanness to give you humanity, to give you compassion, to give you long-suffering, to give you hope, to give you the want and the desire to serve others above yourself, to be as God in this world. Not to be God, because we can never be God, but we can feel the way He feels. We can act the way He acts towards one another. Look at our world when they don't know God. What are the things we do to one another? We are but beasts without the Lord. There is no humanity. There is only the bestiality of our world and the horror therein. And God says, let me crown you with loving kindness. Let me bestow upon you humanity. You see, humanity has nothing to do with being born a human. Humanity has to do with being born a child of God, of receiving the gift that Jesus showed us all. His humanity goes beyond His virgin birth, all the way through His life, all the way through His death, all the way through His ascension, because He is God, and He bestows upon us that reality that we may know Him and be fully known by Him. So today, again, as I said, my challenge is this. We have a great opportunity to show our chesed to a group of people that we've never met, and Miss Faye alluded to them. It's the Mosquito people in Nicaragua. Right now, there are two brothers who have applications in their pockets to go. Wayne Buckus and Charles Gomer. Both of these brothers have put their name on the dotted line and said, yep, I want to go. They both know how to weld, and we need two welders. We'd like to send four. This is pastor speaking. I'd love to send four from our church. It's going to cost about $2,000 a person to go. And brothers and sisters, this is where I'm going to ask you to show your humanity. Will you love these people in Nicaragua, though you've never seen them? Will you allow God through you to touch lives, to put a church up, to put a roof on? You know, you heard Miss Faye say it. It didn't matter what the sides looked like, just so there was a roof over it, where people could come and worship. Look where we are. Somebody gave us a roof. Aren't we glad? Let us praise God in that, right? We have the opportunity to provide a roof. It's going to cost $2,000 a person. I don't want these guys having to pay that out of their salaries, out of their pockets. That's what we're here for. That's what the church is here for. And if the Heart of Christ Church cannot operate in such a manner that says we will take care of the missions that we take care of. If we say yes to this, that means we have to pay it. I'm talking up to $8,000 going on a mission. I've not spoken this to my wife, and I'm telling you this as my personal gift. Pastor is giving $500 towards this mission. And believe me, that's giving sacrificially from this man, because I don't have it. But I know who does. And she's sitting right back there. You all didn't expect that one, did you? It's all right, neither did she. But the reality is, we do have it. It's set aside because we want to put windows on our house. They're falling apart. They're rotting. But you know what? I have a roof over my head. Those windows can fall out. I'll put plywood up. I need to send some guys to Nicaragua. And it's my prayer, and I'm asking you today as a church, whether you will commit to sending four guys to Nicaragua to put a roof on. I've not asked the elders. I'm not asking the elders. I'm asking you, the church, will you support sending four men to Nicaragua to put a roof on? If your answer is yes, $8,000 will be in the bank before they need it, and they need it in 2 months. They will be leaving on the 17th of May and returning on the 31st. Will you show your humanity? Will you reach out in hesed, loving kindness, as these men are reaching out because they're willing to go, to take of their time away from their family, put themselves in jeopardy to go? Will you show your hesed? Will you show your humanity? Will you be the heart of Christ? Giving sacrificially, that others may know what we know and find the humanity in this dark world. Would you pray with me today? Gracious Father, we commit ourselves unto you this day. Lord, I don't know what the answer is going to be, only you do. But Lord, as we begin to move as a church, I also understand that you're going to do things that are greater than we can think or dream. We're just a small group, and we're just starting. But Lord, you've been at this for a long time, and you just want willing vessels, and you can do the rest. So Father, I pray that you would move in each of our lives, that we would examine your heart, and that you would put a figure in our hearts and minds, and that you would tell us yes or no whether we're to be involved in this. Because Lord, I'm asking the body to speak. Will we find your humanity? Will we act therein and give sacrificially? Will we take from our need and give to your cause? Because Lord, you've asked us for commitment. And commitment says, I put myself aside, Lord. Commitment says, I'll get dirty for you, Lord. Because, Lord Jesus, you committed yourself to us. And you got more than dirty. You died. That each of us may know life. You're not asking us to do that. You're just simply asking us to walk in your humanity. Father, guide us into this truth, that we may realize that your human being, part of you, reaches into the very human being, part of us, and asks us to be like you in the fullness thereof. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people. And thank you for your word, for we love you. In Jesus' name. And God's children said,